Okay, so remember when I said at the top of the show that one of our guests today is a bona fide expert in Persian food? That's Najmiye Batmanguj. She was raised in Tehran but exiled after the revolution, and she started writing recipes for herself to help her remember the tastes of her old home. In 1986, she published a book called Food of Life, and literally every single Persian cook I know has it and treasures it. In America, she's taught us about this cuisine for 35 years, but she's never returned to Iran until now. And she wrote a book about that called Cooking in Iran. We visited her in her beautiful art-filled home in Washington, D.C., and we sat at a table next to these two candle holders that were made out of pieces of her wedding chandelier that her sister smuggled out of Iran piece by piece in her pockets. She served glorious platters of meatballs and sweets and tea, and we got to talking. Okay, so we're sitting down to tea. Well, thank you for having us in your beautiful home.
Thank you.
You said, you know, I'm happy to talk to you about the food of Iran and cooking in Iran, but before we do anything, we have to have sweets. These beautiful floral sweets and tea. And you said, nothing of consequence happens without tea.
Exactly.
Now, tell me about that. Tell me about the importance
of
tea.
You know, it's very funny. Iranians were coffee drinkers. Russian brought tea from China to Iran.
To
Afghanistan, and then to Khorasan, which is east of Iran. Actually, you know, that ancient Iranians were wine drinkers. I don't know, nobody perhaps believed that. And, you know, when Islam came to Iran, wine became forbidden. But wine never left the court. And to me, I think this is my interpretation perhaps, all the quality for wine drinking ceremony went to tea drinking ceremony.
Okay.
That's why we serve tea in glass, because the color of tea, it should be not very dark, not very light. It should be red ruby color. And then the temperature is very important. Iranians don't like cold tea at all. Mm-hmm. And the aroma.
Yeah, is there a flower in this?
Yes, that exactly. I sort of marinate my tea in orange blossom flower. So tea is very important. And then a lot of ceremony goes behind it. In one of the cities in Iran, if you ask somebody's hand for marriage, the groom family go to bride's family. If they serve black tea, the answer is no. If they serve saffron tea, the answer is yes. So tea has a very important role. It's a lot of, if they don't serve you tea when you go to somebody's house, that's a sign language that you're not welcome in
that
house.
You're not really welcome here.
And that, another thing is interesting, when they serve you the third glass of tea, it's time to go. So tea has a very important role in Iranian culture, and every meal finishes with tea.
I want to talk a little bit about your origins. You were born in Iran. You grew up there.
Yes.
Steeped in the culture and steeped in the culinary culture, and then you were exiled almost.
Yes,
40
you know,
years
I
w- ago.
No, I was born and raised in Tehran. Mm-hmm. I came from Tehran capital. It's very cosmopolitan, 16 million population. Very westernized. Hamburger, pizza. In Tehran, they serve you best Chinese food, Japanese food. Mm. All these beautiful restaurants there. Yeah, it's an old melting pot. Or, you know, salad bowl, whatever you want to say it. So, and then I came to United States when I was 18. I went to university here. Mm-hmm. I always loved to cook. But my mother wouldn't allow me in the kitchen because she didn't go to university. She wants all her girls goes to university. And after 7 years, I returned to Iran. I handed my master's degree in education because I always wanted to teach. Mm-hmm. And then she allowed me in her kitchen. So I cook with my mother and I cook with my aunt. Actually, my aunt was excellent pastry chef.
Yeah.
And she never shared her secret to my mother. But when I returned to Iran, I was very humble to her. She decided to share it. And I've been cooking in this kitchen in America for about 40 years now.
Yeah. But you recently went back to Iran, traveled, and cooked with people.
Yes.
What was it like going back?
I felt I knew the language. I knew the culture. But I felt I was in exile, too, mm-hmm. because Iran has changed. people has changed. Mm-hmm. They're living different layers of life. You know, they live
under politically. You mean
politically? Yeah. And somehow, all the door was open to me when I went to Tajrish, the bazaar in northern Iran. They call Tajrish Bazaar. And I check all these foods and look at everything, the aroma. And I think I had this my iPhone, a Nike hat, and a scarf. One of the reasons I left Iran because they forced me to cover my head. Mm. I decided never cover my head because to me, Islam never said cover your head. They talk about hijab. Hijab means to be discreet. Mm. It doesn't mean you cover your head. It's not Iranian tradition at all. So scarf is a political thing. Mm-hmm, it's not a religious thing. So I had a scarf, and I had my Nike hat, and I had my iPhone. I took a lot of pictures, interviewed a lot of people. Of course, I had my photographer too, which we went all over Iran.
So let's talk about the cooking. And obviously, you're talking about a huge country with tremendously different regional variations and different climates and, you know, diversity of landmass and climate. So like there are lots of different regional cuisines. But can you speak in general about some of the dishes that really, in your mind, exhibit the most important traits of Iranian cooking? I don't know Persian cooking very well at all, but when I think of it, I think of a lot of herbs. A lot of floral flavors, lots of flowers, as we see in this beautiful home of yours. I think of a lot of acidic ingredients. Tell us about some of those important flavors in the dishes that...
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Iran is sort of divided into several plateaus and separated by mountain, running from west to east, north to south. And we have Persian Gulf in the south. We have Caspian in the north. As a result, as you said, we have many regions which they have their own climate, mm-hmm. own vegetation, own ingredients, and the most important, they have their own food culture, mm-hmm. which that was fascinated me to see the difference between Persian Gulf and people around the Caspian. And everything, there was garlic in every dishes. Even they serve us baby garlic, raw baby garlic on the table. And then my host just peeled a baby garlic and offered me. It looked like, it tastes like a piece of almond, fresh almonds.
Oh, wow.
It was so lovely. They call it in Iran garlic flour.
Mm-hmm.
Or in Persian Gulf, their attitude towards date palms, the respect. They think date palm is like a person. They have funeral for a date palm. They think the local believe date palm fall in love with male because they have male and female. And they use dates in every single thing. And the sweet agent is, of course, date molasses, date juice. And one of my experiences was they cooked the rice in date juice.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And the tadig, the golden crust of date rice, is so delicious.
Is it sweet? Is the date
rice sweet? It's sweet and smoky, crunchy. There were so many things I learned in this trip. I was so happy that I could go to every region and taste and smell and share the kitchen. My dream was that, and I fulfilled that dream. I'm so lucky.
Yeah. It's like you get to start your life over again.
You're right.
Thank you so much, Najmieh.
You're welcome.
Najmieh Batmanglish's latest book is Cooking in Iran, and you can find her recipes for carrot and walnut halva and saffron almond cake at splendidtable.org.